Hello and welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. In this episode, we're featuring a conversation with Anne Bilyeu, the president of WebMD Ignite. She talks about the importance of giving patients reliable health information and the different ways patients want to get that information. She stresses the importance of meeting patients where they are, and she discusses the idea that healthcare organizations need to earn the right to engage patients. It's a really interesting discussion. Thanks for joining us. This is Healthy Bottom Line. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor, Chief Healthcare Executive. Today, we're talking with Anne Bilyeu, the president of WebMD Ignite. Thanks for joining us today, Anne. Really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, Ron, thank you. I appreciate your time and I'm happy to be here.
Let's just start with an easy question. Let's talk about WebMD Ignite, the work that you do with hospitals and the healthcare organizations, and what you do with the organization.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. So I lead WebMD Ignite. And what Ignite is essentially is the first truly comprehensive patient engagement, member engagement, consumer engagement platform that we deploy at the enterprise level. So it includes the ability to identify which consumers, which patients, which members you want to be communicating with. It includes the ability to then reach those consumers. And then it includes the ability to layer in our canonical content, medically reviewed, high quality, consumer forward content to power those interactions. And we have solutions that are fully embedded in clinical workflows. We have solutions that are fully embedded in care management workflows. And we have solutions that are fully embedded in marketing workflows.
It feels like we've heard so much more in healthcare, especially these last few years, about trying to understand more about patients and sort of having a more consumer-centered approach. Just be curious, from the work you're doing, do you see that more? Is that more of a concern that you see from healthcare organizations as well?
Yeah, I think that's true. And there's lots of reasons for that, right? There's how the payment systems have evolved and more folks, you know, have choice in their plans. More people are selecting their plans through exchanges. So there's certainly been an evolution in the payment structures that have helped encourage this. But also, I think in general, consumers are just so much savvier than we used to be because we have access to so much more information. In terms of what's available and accessible, even you know before the LLM models and AI, just basically on the web. So people are used to having access to information that they use to make good decisions for themselves, whether it's you know whether it's a purchase of an item or selecting a health plan or selecting a provider.
It's great that you talk about how there's so much more information out there for people. That's good and bad in some ways, because obviously people have interest in learning more about healthcare options. I think more hospitals and health systems and health plans are anxious to offer more educational material to patients. I think sometimes the trick is getting patients to maybe there's more trusted sources when there's a lot of other information out there. So how do you make sure that patients are getting good information that will really answer their questions?
No, there's almost no more important question right now, Ron, right? I mean, so if you look at what we've built very intentionally, we have the largest, we are the canonical source. We are, this will date me a little bit, but we are the Encyclopedia Britannica of consumer forward, medically reviewed, high quality content. So if a solution wants to provide high quality content, meaning it's safe, it's current, it's relevant to an individual, they really need to point their LLM, point, you know, their solution at our content. And then there is assurances that the information that the consumer, the member, et cetera, will be getting is high quality and safe. Not only safe for the consumer, but safe for the organization providing it, because you know, let's face it, that's sort of an important consideration too. So it really starts with the content and making sure you have a content source that's right, accurate, current, and it takes tremendous resources. You know, medical care is evolving so quickly today, and being able to keep current with current medical practice, having the right languages, having as many languages as possible. right? Having it really tailored to a person's socioeconomic status, their individual considerations about, cultural considerations, all of these things are really important. So it first starts with the content. You have to start there, and you have to make sure that it's super high quality.
And you mentioned just the challenge of keeping up with changing medical knowledge, and you've talked to doctors about how quickly it's changing, how there's so much more knowledge out there, so many more new studies, and keeping, I just can't imagine, like, keeping up with all that as a doctor. Clearly I'm not a doctor, having to keep up with so much new knowledge out there, and like especially in fields like cancer, where oncologists tell me, like, the pace of change is happening across healthcare, but especially in cancer research, it's moving really, really rapidly. So how do you keep up with all of that vast information that's changing so quickly?
Really good question. Well, luckily we have vast resources, right? So, one of our sister divisions is Medscape. And Medscape is the leading member-based information solution for physicians and other types of clinicians. So we have a large team that goes to all of the medical conferences, that reviews all of the FDA filings, that really stays on top of what's happening from a medical perspective and serves that information up appropriately to clinicians. We have access to all of that as part of the overall WebMD umbrella. And then of course we have a very large team. I think it's by far the largest in the industry that's generating that content. So it's appropriate for consumers, which again is no light lift or certainly isn't a trivial endeavor. So it takes a lot of people to stay current on what's happening with the medical societies, what's happening with the FDA, what's happening with the C with CMS, what new devices are being launched, what new drugs are being launched, what new clinical studies are coming out that may change current medical practice. All of it needs to be funneled in to our team so that they can create consumer forward content that's accurate and timely.
I've talked with a leader of an academic medical center. He talked about just the need to outreach in different ways. It's one thing to have that high quality information you're talking about, but there's so many folks that are just going, listening to a podcast or something that a friend said, or they're putting in their own prompt through maybe a chat GPT. But the problem is you can have the best information on maybe vaccines and answering questions with really high quality information, but you still have to do that outreach. So is that something where the industry, hospitals, health systems just need to think a little differently in terms of finding different ways to reach people that may not be thinking to come to them for that high quality information?
Oh, 100%, right? And you need to reach people where they are, and you need to earn the right to communicate with them. You need to earn the right to communicate with consumers. The reason they're going to TikTok and some of these other places, and not that all the content on TikTok is bad. I don't mean to sort of pick on any one particular social channel, but the reason people are going to these sources for medical information is because it's easy and because it's produced in a way that feels very relevant for them and maybe even, God forbid, a little entertaining. So we have to earn the right to communicate with consumers by giving them information that's super timely, super relevant, formatted in a way that they can consume it, that they want to consume it in the right channel, in the right format, in the right language, at the right time. That takes a tremendous effort, right? Because you have to start with the content and you have to have massive amounts of content so you can personalize. But then you need to have access to, you need to have access to channels. You need to be able to be present in the social channels. You need to be present through email. You need to be present, across the web, wherever there's medically or healthcare related content. And we're able to do all of that, right? We're truly an omni-channel offering. We can reach people via email. We can reach people via text, which is increasingly important. And through our, WebMD and our other endemic properties, we can reach people on the web. Through our healthcare specific DSP, PulsePoint, we're able to reach 99% of consumers wherever they are on the web consuming medically related content or healthcare related content. So you have to be able to have that reach powered by that content, but then you also need to understand who you're talking to, right? And so, what are their unique circumstances? What are their unique concerns? What has been their clinical journey? What has been their digital journey? So that you can begin to truly optimize these engagements. And all of this, honestly, is something that most other sectors of the economy have figured out how to do. We have to be extra careful and extra diligent because of the very important sort of privacy concerns and making sure that people feel like we're being very vigilant and very careful with their data, with their information, and protecting them. So there's that overlay in our industry that some other industries may not have, and we absolutely stay on the bright line of good on those topics. But you also need to make people feel like you understand them, and to do that in a way that feels appropriate to them, but also feels like they've been heard. And you understand them and you've taken the time to get to know them. And that's part of what I described earlier is earning the right to communicate with them.
You've mentioned that a couple of times, and my ears perked up the minute you first used that phrase, earn the right, because I feel like it's such a really interesting point. And I think that's a generational shift, and not necessarily in a good way, but I think a generation ago, if you had questions about healthcare, you talked to your doctor. And now, I think a lot of people don't have primary care doctors right now. A lot of people live in counties where there isn't a primary care doctor to be had.
Yes.
So you don't have that necessarily same relationship there. But is that something that I think the industry also needs to think about differently? The idea of like people aren't necessarily going to come to you. So you need to earn that trust or earn that ability to be able to have that relationship with the patients, with the consumers.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And the best way to do that, again, is to give them something that's relevant to their concern,
Yeah.
right? Or concerns.
Do you feel like more organizations are understanding that now, or is that still sort of a little bit of a work in progress?
Well, I think we're evolving, right? Because we do have, we do have these. They're very important. I don't mean to, in any way, sort of seem like I'm not fully supportive of them because I am. But, we do have these, privacy overlays and these, regulatory issues that we have to make sure that we adhere to, 100% of the time. So it's a little more complicated. And we still have very siloed infrastructures, very siloed data silos. So really getting a full picture. I mean, make no mistake. I mean, Ron, if you went to Amazon after this call, they will know everything about you. Everything about you. Everything about you. Up to and including your last 10 purchases, where you live, what car you drive, right? They'll know how much debt you have. I mean, they will know everything about you, right? And they'll argue that they need to know everything about you so that they can serve you better. And maybe that's right, or maybe that's true, maybe it's gone too far. These are different opinions that people have. And I imagine that we'll continue to debate that question as a society. But it's the same thing with healthcare, right? If you serve somebody up content to them that's not in their language, doesn't reflect their clinical situation, doesn't reflect their cultural situation or their cultural proclivities, it just doesn't feel good, right? So we've trained consumers to expect the organizations they're interacting with have taken the time to get to know them. And but it's real work. I mean, it's real work and it's sophisticated work, and it's something we're on the earlier stages of in our industry, healthcare.
You talked about reaching people in different ways, which is interesting too. Talked about, it's great to have like maybe video or stuff like, but also text, which can be important in areas that don't have the best broadband access, where video telehealth's not really a great option for some folks. So being able to have text is a really, I think, some maybe sometimes an underrecognized component in terms of reaching different patients.
I think there are some patients or some consumers today that they only have a phone. They don't have a PC. They don't have a laptop. They're not accessing the internet on a laptop. They're not going to a patient portal on a laptop or PC or whatever. They have their phone, and that is their only connection to the rest of the world. It's interesting. A few years ago, people would say about various populations, "Oh, they don't have smartphones." Not true. They have smartphones today. It may be all they have, however, right? They probably don't have a landline, right? Maybe they don't even have a permanent address. They have a phone, and it is what they use to communicate with the rest of the world. And the way they do that, for the most part, is through SMS. So being able to reach key populations, really important populations, populations of need. You really need to have the ability to communicate via SMS. And it's great because we just launched SMS in our coach platform, which is the platform that we have integrated into care management systems and integrated into the care management workflow, managing care for, very high risk populations. We had to have text, right? Because if somebody doesn't have a permanent address, you're not sending them a piece of mail, right? If somebody doesn't have a laptop, they're probably not accessing email. Or if they're accessing email, they have 10 different email addresses. Which one is right? So you need to be able to reach people via SMS and to do it effectively, obviously, with all of the controls in place that's required in terms of opt-in and all the TCPA stuff. And that's all super important, but you got to have it.
Well, you've touched a little bit on AI, but I guess, I think we'll be fined by some medical groups if we don't talk more about AI and healthcare. So it's, I mean, how is AI really changing the game in terms of outreach in good ways? Because sometimes you see, yeah, obviously enormous potential, but sometimes it's that very stilted bot that can be sort of like a little cumbersome, and I'm not sure it's not always necessarily the best. So how do you see health systems using AI effectively, and where can they maybe do better?
Well, I think in the moment, what's certainly gaining the most traction is AI in the more administrative side of the house. And I actually think there's a little bit of a, a little bit of a war going on, holy war, if you will, between payers and providers in terms of layering AI into the RCM cycle, the revenue cycle. And who's going to use it to greatest effect? Will the providers use it to greatest effect to get paid? Will the payers use it to greatest effect to weed out things they want to weed out. So anyway, so I think the administrative side is where a lot is happening. On the clinical side, obviously people have been a little bit more careful or circumspect and are taking things a little more slowly, for obvious reasons in terms of the risk associated with the actual provision of care. But we are seeing things there. Like the thing that's happening most quickly is ambient AI, which is somewhere between a clinical use case and a administrative use case. It's using AI to facilitate the documentation of a clinical event, and that's an important use case for us because, again, we want to have, while the clinician is documenting an encounter of some sort, we want to be right there with that provider saying, okay, so here's the information that based on what you just documented, here's the information that would be most beneficial for this patient to take home with him or her. So that being making sure that we're embedded in all of those different channels, all of those different workflows, wherever there's a connection between a provider and a patient or a care manager and a patient, a member, wherever there's decisions being made about a person's healthcare, an individual's healthcare. We want to be present with consumer-forward content. There's plenty of content for providers to help them make good clinical decisions, and that's great. There needs to be great information for consumers to help them make decisions, and it needs to be consumer-forward. It can't be diluted clinical content or diluted content that's meant for clinicians. It needs to be consumer forward. To your point earlier of, people want to consume information the way they want to consume information. And we've trained ourselves, again, rightly and wrongly, these are debates for all of society. We've trained ourselves to take information in snippets, super short snippets, and to do it in a way that's compelling and engaging and entertaining. And that's, we got to serve people what they want.
Absolutely. So you've already offered, I think, some good insights for healthcare leaders. But what are some of the bigger pieces of advice you should also offer healthcare leaders as they're navigating a really a challenging time, a time of a lot of uncertainty? Like, what's the advice that you would give healthcare leaders in terms of reaching people more effectively, and even just maybe, doing better business-wise?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'll share this with you. We had a town hall earlier this week, And, you know, of course, the question came up about, you know, we're hearing from our clients are concerned about, you know, possibility for Medicaid cuts, or concerned about, you know, what's happening with Medicare Advantage and star ratings. Or for our payer clients, we're concerned about, you know, what might be happening with tariffs that would, you know, drive up costs for things purchased from, you know, outside the US, you know, all of these things that every business leader and every business right now is concerned about the tariffs. The other things are more specific to healthcare. And you know, I said to my team, look, we control what we control, right? And it's impossible to predict right now how things are going to play out on some of these issues that are being debated in Washington. And however they turn out, we'll be fine. We'll pivot, we'll adjust. But what we need to do is just stay laser focused on our clients and creating value for our clients. And everything else will take care of itself. So be laser focused on the work that you do and the job that you do for your clients, for your patients, members, whatever that is. In our case, it's health systems, payers, other types of providers. We need to be laser focused on making sure we're creating value for them. And we'll roll with the tide.
That's actually some really good perspectives. I mean, you can't control what's out of your control, but you can control the things that you do. So if you focus on your clients, serve them the best way you can, that's probably the best path forward you can take.
You
So
bet. You bet.
always like to ask healthcare leaders too about leadership lessons they've learned that might be helpful to others along the way. So is there a lesson that's been especially valuable in your career that might be helpful to other healthcare leaders?
Well, leaders in general, I don't think it's anything specific to healthcare necessarily, but you know, pretty early on in my career, I had a great mentor, and this is, you know, I was a few years out of business school, and when you think you're hot and you think you're, you know, super smart. And what he said to me was, look, getting to the answer is the easy part. The harder part is making sure you have people lined up behind you to take the hill, and getting people excited about that and getting consensus on what the right answer is. And that's something I continually remind myself, Ron. It's easy for us to say this is what we should do, but then spending the time, and it does take time to get alignment around that and to get everybody pointing in the right direction, and to hear, you know, people's different points of view. Sometimes finding the patience to do that can be challenging, but it's super important.
Any secret sauce of how you actually kind of build that alignment and how you get people maybe the chance to offer a different point of view, but when it's time to say, okay, this is the direction we need to go, how do you get people from sounding off to moving the right direction?
Time. You need to give them time. You need to make them feel heard. Acknowledge whatever concerns or questions or different points of view they may have, so that they feel like they had a part in making the decision. And then once the decision's made, you go forward collectively as a team.
Well, we covered a lot of ground and not a lot of time, so really appreciate it. But we've been talking with Anne Bilyeu of WebMD Ignite. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, Ron. I enjoyed the time. Thank you, and great work with what you do. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest healthcare news, compelling features, and deeper dives, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.